Genesis 5 and verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. This is the book of the generation of Adam. This is the book of the generation of Adam. And so we go through seven times in the book of Genesis until we come to chapter 37. Is it verse 2? These are the generations, Genesis 37, these are the generations of Jacob. We're not going to do that. I just want you to think about this. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Now I want you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, please. Matthew's Gospel chapter 1. This is different. This is different. The book of the generations of Adam. But look at this here. The first verse of the New Testament, not the Old Testament now, the generations of Adam in that book over there. But here is a new threshold chapter that reminds us of the glory of our Lord Jesus, the last Adam. The second man is the Lord from out of heaven. Or as the revisers say, the second man is not the Lord, but the second man is out of heaven. It's not just simply Christ that is in view in 1 Corinthians 15. I would presume that you all know this, you know. You all know this. The first man is of the earth, earthly. Of the dust, dusty. Not of the earth, earthly. It's talking about how Adam was made and built up from the dust of the ground. The first man is of the earth, earthy. That's as true of me standing here as it was true of Adam then. It's an order of manhood. But when you come to the second man is the Lord out of heaven, I know the revisers reject the Lord out of the Lord. They say the second man is out of heaven. That is an order of manhood too. It doesn't only apply to Christ. You and I as believers, we belong to that order, that second order of manhood. And I'm thinking about this great book that touches on Christ and yet involves us. The New Covenant, the New Testament. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I don't know about, as I sometimes say, thinking pit shafts in verses, but, you know, I was listening to Jim there, and I thought it was also wonderful just to hear him talking about Joshua, and all the time reminding us about Christ. This day was Joshua magnified in the sight of all the people. There is no other person in mind, in God's mind, I trust in our mind tonight, but Joshua's great antitype, and that's our glorious Lord Jesus. Where's John Campbell? John Campbell's not here. I'm thinking about his poetry. And I'm thinking about having heard about Bartimaeus. What a lovely man. Now, Brother Willie reminding us of that in prayer, just his response to what the crowd said. But Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a great poem. And I remember this a long time ago. I don't want to go through it with you, but I can't help from just reminding us of how it begins, you know. Blind Bartimaeus at the gates of Jericho in darkness waits. He hears a crowd, he hears a breath say, "It is Christ of Nazareth," and calls in tones of agony, "Jesu, Eleison me, Jesus, have mercy on me." So it goes on. Tharsai, Hegairai, Hupagee, have mercy on me. And then the Lord that responds and says, "He pistis sau." Sissokisi. Lovely, the Greek of it, you know. And of course, Longfellow had done that, but it's a rather wonderful poem. And we're reminded in the poem as well, more of course, in the ministry, about Jesus of Nazareth passing by. "Oh no," he said. "How did you know?
He was blind, he didn't have eyes to see. But you see, the crowd, reproached him. And yet comes this wonderful confession of the greatness of Christ. You know, thou son of David, thou son of David. Why have I stopped there reading that first verse? Look what it says. Look what it says. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David. The son of David. That's not Solomon. The son of Abraham. That's not Isaac. These are failed men. They were, of course, naturally speaking, the sons of, you know, Solomon, David, Isaac, Abraham. But you see, Christ is both. And this is a wonderful verse. And I want to just say a little to you tonight about this great opening chapter of the New Testament, just as it brings before us our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if I'd get out of my mind or heart what's in it, but I just want to speak to you about this. That's what's in my heart. Now, here is the genealogy. Goes, as you see, just look at it, supposing it were the Sunday school or the Bible class, just look at it, right down to verse 17. See, now that is the book of the genealogy of Christ, the human ancestry of the Lord Jesus, the genealogy of Christ. And then, of course, in a human sense, from verse 18, this is wonderful, from verse 18, the remainder of the chapter is not his human genealogy, but it's his divine generation. So you've got to think about words, you know. You see, when you think about Genesis, you know, you're thinking about, you know, life and generation, but here is a wonderful Genesis. The second man is out of heaven. And we're connected tonight with Christ, aren't we, in such a wonderful way. So I want to speak to you about, you know, that's the main analysis of the chapter. It's so easy. Verses 1 to 17, human genealogy, and then, of course, the divine generation of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. But I thought to just leave with you three main thoughts. I've worked on this during the week, you know. I've got a wee bit more time now, you see. And I just want to speak to you about the book. The book. Now, the book goes right down to verse 17. You can see that. Genealogy. And then I want to talk to you, look at verse 18 now. I want to talk to you about a little about the birth. See what it says. See, you want with your pencil, and it's all just waiting for you. The birth. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Two options were open to Joseph, whether to, resort to a public shaming of the lady, or private separation, you know, to put her away privately. And beautiful this man, lovely man Joseph, he is. Read on, look at verse 20. But while he thought on these things, you've got all the time to think on these things. Well, have all eternity to think on these things. Oh, think about these things, you know. Just forgetting about the TikToks. You know, we keep referring to the clock. It's just a wee bit of, I think, humour in these matters. But we must go according to the clock, you know. Let's hope. Behold, he says, look at verse 20. Behold the angel of the Lord. When you think on these things, you get a ministry from heaven, you know, just to pacify your troubled soul, your heart. Things have not gone your way. And you give yourself over to, wrong imaginings, just as this beer man did. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, here's a second son of David in the passage.
Have you ever noticed this? Joseph, thou son of David. Isn't that lovely? See, we're all linked with Christ. I thought this was nice. He, Bartimaeus is a royal man. Bar, in any of these words, means son of Timaeus' honour. Son of honour. He's connected with Christ in his glory. And so he follows him. Trying to... It says that. He followed him. Trying to... I thought about our brother Willie Finn, trying to walk in the steps of the Saviour. Bartimaeus following him. Look at this now, in the middle of verse 20. Thou son, fear not to, take unto thee Mary thy wife, fear not. There are seven, just precisely, no more and no less, fear not in the Gospel by Luke. And here occurring in the first page. I understand, you don't mind me, somebody's been on this with a pocket calculator. There are 365 fear nots in the Bible. Now, who did that? I don't know. Where did I get that? You get it from other people, you see. But there are 365 fear nots. And I know there might be, you see, amongst the scholars, just a wee bit of discussion about another one, 366. So I say to myself, oh, that's for the leap year, you know. It's good, isn't it? But isn't it lovely when your heart's troubled this Saturday evening? How are you feeling tonight, you see? We think about that now. And are you getting a revelation from heaven? Is God intervening in your life and circumstances? It's loveliness, isn't it? Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto Mary, thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son. Now, I was going to speak to you about the book of the generation. See, and then, now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. And then talk to you about the blessings. The blessing of the blessings. Threefold blessings. Look at this. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. You see, there's a divine side to this, an exaltation, the exalted matters. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Lovely, espousal. And took unto him his wife, marriage, and knew her not till he had brought forth her firstborn son. Consummation of that marriage, but not before that Christ was born. He didn't know her until, see what it's saying, isn't this exquisite? And knew her not, didn't know her. Of course she would know him, of course she knew him, you know, as a man. But it's this, you don't mind me saying to this, she did not carnally, you know, she didn't have carnal knowledge, fleshly knowledge of him, special use of the word carnal knowledge of him. You know in which sense I say that to you. She didn't have carnal knowledge of Joseph until that Jesus was born. Luke puts it the other way, you know. Luke puts it the other way. It's lovely. He didn't know her. He didn't know her. In Luke it says that she didn't know. She as yet knew not a man. But she knew, you know, but not in that way. It's so lovely just to think about the loveliness of both of these characters, you know. And see it, he knew her not till she had brought forth a firstborn, and he called his name Jesus. Now, I suppose I could sit down there and just, leave it with you. Just, we could go home, I think, just talk about Christ, but
Just let's look at the reading down a little. Look at this. I thought about the genealogy, the book, in three simple ways. First of all, verse 1, the title. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's what it's about. And then I thought about the genealogy itself, extending right through from verse 2 down to verse 16. That's the book. And then verse 17 is a summary. The title, and then the book, and then a summary of the book. It's good, that, isn't it? Look at the summary. So, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. The call, remember this with the verse, we'll never get to it. It'll be another meeting. The call of Abraham. So, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. The call of Abraham. That's that concern, that section. And from David until the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations. Not now the call of Abraham, but the choice and coronation of David, of the king. That's lovely. These are great matters in the history of the nation of Israel. You think about Jerusalem out there just now, aren't you? Look at the next bit of this verse. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And this is the captivity of the nation. The call of Abraham, you know, the coronation of the king, David, and then of course the captivity of the nation, of the Jews, Judah and Israel. But you see, Christ is coming to, you can see the connection in the genealogy. What do you think? Let me ask you a question. Was the womb of history big with? When you read down all this through these amazing verses, and think about Mary, of course, bringing forth Christ. Well, there was nothing else in mind but our glorious Lord Jesus. I think sometimes we don't half magnify him, you know, and we do feel like that great queen coming in from the uttermost parts of the earth. The half has not yet been told us. And when we begin to discover the greatness and glory of our glorious Lord, what we feel is, you see, there's no more spirit left in us. Lovely to know that Christ has come in this way. I was looking at that while our brother Jim was speaking. That great word from David. 2 Samuel 23. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me. His word was in my tongue. You know? And God of the rock of Israel, he spoke and he said, he that rules must rule in the fear of God. And then he describes the coming of Christ. No doubt about that. The son of David. He shall be as the light of the morning. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth. A morning without clouds. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. A morning without clouds, excepting when he comes, the clouds of the saints and the clouds of glory. A morning without clouds. You know, he shall be like the grass, the tender grass. See, I'm saying this, I suppose, humbly. I mean, I'm just trying to say to maybe younger people, the thing to do is that the ministry is in words which the Holy Spirit has chosen. Tender grass. You know, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Tenderness. You see, there's a lot of people even in the meeting tonight to begin with. And the world outside there, just, you know, a few steps away from the door in these houses, who are needing not toughness. All right for Saddam Hussein and President Bush and the Americans to talk about, we'll smash them, you know. And that's, I'm quoting a five-letter word, smash them. Well, that's men, you see, but What they're needing out there tonight is tenderness, and this is what Christ brings. He shall be like the tender grass, you know, when it springs out of the earth, out of the earth. Isaiah 4, I thought about that. I thought about that, you know. He shall be, you know, for excellence and comeliness, and as the branch of the Lord, and springing out of the earth, it says. I think it's Isaiah 4, verse 4. Lovely one. And he shall be like the tender grass, springing out of the earth by, oh listen, by clear shining. After rain. Eh? Have you had rain recently in your life? By clear shining. Oh, isn't that lovely? It means you're weak. I've been through the... I'm not going to say much about this, but I've seen an old lady from... She's a lovely lady. She's a lovely... Saw her today. Isn't it my brother-in-law there? But I saw her today, and she's got her... She's 79 and she's got her leg off just below the knee. So Tony to go and see her. Lovely lady, Mrs. Anderson. But you see, clear shining after rain. Now, this is what the New Testament is bringing to us. You see, you're seeing the opening verses, the opening pages. Look at this, the title. Just let me talk a little to you about the title. See it? The Book of the Generation of Jesus Christ. The son of David, the son of Abraham. And you think about, you see the order here, don't you? You see the order, the son of David comes first. I don't think that this is just, as I think you don't think, that this is just, that this book is just, you know, applied to the genealogy down to verse 17. Although it is. I've always thought, you see, when we start discussing in our readings, one brother says it's this and another brother says it's that. Well, I think it's both. I remember Mr. Lacey in Hebron Hall, Lark Hall, saying that many years ago. Don't argue about what it's not and what it is. You remember him telling? Well, I don't know. A lot of young people here, too many, not going back that far. 1950. But he said, you know, he told us about the shield and it was up there in the peak and the men were down here. One was saying it was silver and another said it was gold, and when they got to the top they discovered it was both. Two sides of the shield, one silver, one gold. You see, there are levels and there are depths of meaning. I don't believe, I will tell you straightforwardly, I don't believe in one interpretation and many applications. The scripture is greater than us, you know. So the Book of the Generation, I'm quite sure, you know, this verse is providing us, for example, you see, the Book of the Generation, first 17 verses, but it's also providing us with a little conspectus analysis of the Book of Matthew, the Son of David, chapters 1. We say Matthew's gospel is the gospel of the King, chapters 1 right through to 26. And then we see the Lord Jesus on the altar, at the cross that is, son of Abraham. So that, you see, this is prefiguring so beautifully the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed it is. And so we see that in one title here, he's filling the throne, son of David. In the second one, he's filling the altar. And the path to the throne is always by way of the altar. It is. Son of David, son of Abraham. But it extends right through the New Testament. And I can't go into this, but I think about Romans 1, for example. Son of David, son of Abraham. You know, Paul the Apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And then he speaks about, you know, made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness through the resurrection, not simply from the dead but of the dead. And it's lovely just to see all this being fulfilled in Christ. He comes to the nation, and he comes through the nation. That's what I think is being registered for us in these first 17 verses. He comes to the nation, he comes through the nation, of whom, Romans 9, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Lovely that, you know. But he's distinct from the nation. That is the mystery. That is the mystery of the remaining verses of our chapter. Verses 18 to the end. You know, not lovely, not lovely. Joseph had no part in the birth of Christ. Oh, I see the clock. You know, Joseph's a lovely man. I better not anticipate what I was going to say to you about him, but could we just look at the... I was going to say, you can see Christ's connections both royally, you see, and racially in this. Royally, son of David. Racially, you see, son of Abraham. Christ is a Jew. Never forget that. I hope we're remembering Jerusalem. I hope indeed we are. I hope we're remembering Baghdad as well and Babylon. Abraham, son of Abraham. Where did Abraham come from? We were saying last Saturday that Balaam came from Mesopotamia. Where did Abraham come from? Iraq. Modern Iraq. In between the places of the two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. And we've been speaking about the angel, you know, the trumpet angel, the sixth of them in Revelation chapter 9. And there he sounded the trumpet. And the four angels lodged in the river Euphrates are being loosed. God has in mind his people. I hope we remember how we pray in our meetings. I've got to say this to you. Did I say it last week, I think? Somebody said to me at a certain meeting, John, I'm amazed to hear, you know, certain people who are conscientious objectors and they're praying in a one-sided way for the triumph of American and British and, you know, the confederated arms of these people who are marching against Baghdad. Well, trying to get, you know, these people out of Kuwait. I think we've got to be very, very careful, because Christ has in mind the Arabs as well for blessing. Would you believe that? Of course you would. Why am I saying that to you? You see, If you think about verse 1 and you think about the seed of Abraham, you're thinking about Christ coming in the line of promised blessing. But the stock of promise is way back in the book of Genesis, beginning with this very man who's coming from Mesopotamia, Haran, and then moving on westward into the land. Jericho is the gateway into the land of promise. Isn't that beautiful? Just to think about what we've been hearing about. So it's all connected. It's all interconnected. So there is a verse that's touching, reminding us of the title of this great book, the Book of the Generation. We're going to read about people. Just refer to it simply. We're going to read about people who have connections with Christ, you know, in this very next section, the genealogy itself. I have sometimes thought, always connected really indeed, spiritually speaking, that lovely verse in Philippians 4 with this, you know. Help these women who labored with me in the gospel, Clement and so on, says Paul to the Philippians, whose names are in the book of life, the book of the generation. Good, isn't that now? And John, blessed his name is, and that other John there, and his lady beside him, and Jim, and her brother. Oh, well, now. Not to be personal to say, but, you know, it's a great pity that we generalize too much and we don't make it personal. Isn't it a wonderful thing? It is a wonderful thing this Saturday evening to know and to feel in our hearts that we have connections with Christ. Son of David, son of Abraham. the Lord of glory. He gets no personal glory out of having connections with. Look at verse 2 now. Just read with me. We'll keep our eyes on this. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah, Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Aminadab, Aminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, Jericho. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Now you're seeing names, haven't you? Leap up at your names, such as, in turning away from the title to, you know, the genealogy itself now, names such as Rahab, and then Ruth. Lovely. She became naturalized. I don't know about Rahab, no. But you see, that childless widow returning from Moab, what a lovely story, isn't it? And being connected with David right royally. And lovely. Isn't it? And lovely. The Lord Jesus couldn't get any personal glory from associations with people like Rahab the harlot. You notice that it's not mentioned here. It's not mentioned here. So lovely, so delicate that in its own way. You see, this register is coming from, I would believe it, from the registrar. This register here is coming from the registrar's office, the notary public's office. And so somebody's got it, it's been treasured there. But the Spirit of God and the Christ of God is taking a hand in the list of names. And in comes John Blessley, associated with Christ. You know, I'm thinking about my address when I was a boy, 201 Mary Street, Morrison. We had a room and kitchen, you know, and an attic up there, that's what we had. And we were in a building with one or two houses, and we were the big ones in that building, because we had an attic, the others didn't, you know. And the Glessons have got a big house, we said, you know. Hear me, I can see myself going up. But how does God's choice come on these dear people? And you begin to think about Rahab. Not lovely. Oh, it's lovely, it is. Rahab. You can see the cord, can't you? And you can see the thread. I'm quoting. And you can see the line. You see, that she hung out of that window is described for us in three different ways. Cord, strong, you know. The thread's very weak. Lord, I believe. You know, Lord, I believe. There's the cord. Help thou mine unbelief is the thread, you know. And then the line, of course, is called the scarlet line. How beautiful. That's testimony, you see. These spies got to know her. Lovely. We could go into this, couldn't we? But it's just lovely just to think about these dear people. These dear people. Rahab. And there she has association with the Lord. And then Ruth, you see, I can't go into this. There's five women, as you know. There is Ruth. Ruth. You see, if you took Tamar to begin with, didn't forget about her, Tamar from Genesis chapter 30, what a chapter. You'd find it difficult, I think, you know, maybe a sister or a brother, you know, reading it together, you know, public meeting, so you take your time. But it's the Bible. But if Tamar had never committed that sin in that chapter, she would never have been in here. It's a sin that gives a connection with Christ. When you come to Rahab, it's not her sin now, it's faith, her faith. Hebrews chapter 11. No possible manner of doubt about it, whatever. By faith, Rahab the harlot, you know. And then Ruth, of course, you see sin, Epistle to the Romans, we say, and then you've got the story of Rahab is faith. And then Ruth is a matter of grace. Remember the law. The law had kept her out even into the 10th generation. Right? But she was brought in. The law was set aside in grace to her. The fourth woman is, well, look at this now. Look at verse 6. And Jesse begat David, the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been, the wife of Uriah. She's not mentioned. You don't advertise the sin of saints. You don't do that. You see, if you think about sin Tamar, and then faith Rahab, and then grace Ruth, you're thinking now, Bathsheba, you see, this is. But it's not said. Her that had been the wife of Uriah. That's delightful, isn't it? You see, this is the believer. Connections with the king. And the military in David's army. And so you see that. You see, our salvation is, first of all, begins within a gospel meeting. Realizing that we're sinners in God's presence. That gives us connection with Christ. And then, of course, our faith, Rahab. And then grace, Ruth. And then our salvation. We're not saved today and lost tomorrow. Never! Her that had been the wife of Uriah. And so she comes in and she's a place forever in her links with Christ in this beautiful book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. The fifth lady, of course, is, and this carries the story of our connection with Christ further. You know, it's Mary. I must say this to you. I hope you accept this. The mind of God in relation to his people connected with Christ is not simply sin and salvation in a limited sense. You know, last century, the Salvation Army used to speak about, you know, soup and salvation, you know, the kind of social gospel. It's all right for us to sing, "Only a sinner saved by grace." Of course, but God is in mind more than that for his people. And it's the reproduction of the Lord Jesus. And this is what happens in relation to the fifth lady, you see. The great extension of God's purpose in relation to any one of us, and us all together, is that we should bring forth Christ as a firstborn in our spiritual history. Of whom again I travel in birth until Christ be formed in you. That is a super story. A lovely story, isn't it? Let me say that to you. And of course, you think about these illustrious figures. What was I going to say to you? I thought, you see, if you see these people connected with Christ, you know, there's a variation in social standing, you know, of people here. You see people such as the patriarchs and the king. See, look at what it says in verse 6. See? And Jesse begat not simply David in the genealogy, but David the king. That good? David the king. You see, they're great people. And of course you've got Joseph the carpenter as well. That's way down at the other end of the scale, you know. Care in our meeting. I wish I could tell you about care. Speaking about, you know, the Lord Jesus to the Father and the Lord's in the morning. He's got his own style about it. His father, William, Jim Fraser, was a joiner. And Kerr never forgot to appreciate that his father was a carpenter. And he'd get up and give thanks. You see? And I remember one Lord's Day, never forget this, he said to the father, he said, "The Lord Jesus wasn't only a carpenter's son, but he was a carpenter himself." And he began to speak about these yokes, you know? And in his own simple way, he said, "The joiners nowadays, you know, The joiners nowadays, he said, he says, what they do when they botch a job, he got 3 P's here. Now listen to it. He got 3 P's, he says, when they botch a job, what they do is, he says, they cover it up with paint, or putty, or polyfiller. He mentions them. But you know what he said after that? He said, the blessed Lord Jesus never needed anything like that. You know what he said? The text, he hath done all things well. I thought that was lovely. And I remember our brother John Campbell once. He says, John listened to him one Lord's Day, and he said, who is that brother? He began giving God thanks for the breastplate, and every angle was a right angle, and he spoke about the diagonals, and then he started speaking about the perfection of the Lord Jesus. And John said, you know, it's quite wonderful to listen to that. Something different. Something very definitely sincere. Sincere. What am I saying to you? We're talking about social variety of people that are found here in our meeting tonight. What does it matter, you know, what we've got? I desire to know nothing amongst you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified amongst you. I'm not worried whether somebody's a pharmacist or doctor or painter. Oh no, nothing. Or a bricklayer's labourer. I don't want to know anything amongst you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But you see, there's not only differences of social standing, but there's moral variation as well. There's a lot of rascals here. People with very solid characters. You know? But there are, let me tell you, moral aristocrats as well. You can think of them just as you read down there. Abraham, you know, and so on. It's all lovely. I'd love to just, you know, talk to you about this. But come down to verse 17 now, or look at verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. Now, if you took a pencil or, you know, just pinpointed it through the genealogy, something like 39 times, he began, right up, he began, until you would almost, you know, find a weariness creeping in at the repetition of it. But for emphasis, it said, he began, because you're coming to a verse like verse 16. Look at verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. It never could say that Joseph begat Jesus. Oh no, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christus, Christ, meaning, you know, the Messiah, the anointed one. Well, now, I've got to be stopping, but you'll just be thinking about connections even with what our brother is saying, you see, because Jim's been saying, I was thinking about Joshua, and I was thinking about at the end his name being called Jesus. We'll come to that, but look at verse 17, just verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham, see, to David are 14 generations. Now, I understand that series of names, that first 14, is complete. So it says, all the generations. Now look at the next one. And from David, how precise. See, I used to say to them, when I could talk to them, the young folks, I used to say to them, do remember that English is a science as well as chemistry, you know, or anything you get downstairs. See, they're all down there below, you see, biology and so on. But I used to say to them, it is a science. So all the generations, see, But it doesn't say all now. Look at the second set of names. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. Because certain names are missed out here. You can see this. And you can see, I can mention them to you. I did it this morning. You know, I do a lot of reading in my bed. Shouldn't have told you that. I get tea brought through. But it's good in cold mornings. You know, it helps. But I read from 2 Kings 8 through to 2 Kings 14. And names such as Ahaziah and Joash and Amaziah are missed out in this second series. Isn't that lovely? So it's not all the generations. Certain generations have been kept out. I don't know why. I'll tell you one reason, having read that this morning, it's that these men, Ahaziah and Joash and Amaziah, were born from a woman that sprung from Ahab and Jezebel. How interesting. How perfect it all is. And then look at this now. Look at the third set of me. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. You know. It's just lovely to wait over the word of God for its own sake. I keep saying that, but you see, I chide myself. I do chide myself for not having taken enough time earlier in life over the word of God for its own sake. You know, and I say to each one of us, just get your Bible into your hand and into your heart and read it, you know. Especially, you know, when it's glorifying Christ. Now, you see, look at verse 18. I was going to say a lot to you about verse 17, but I can't. You know? Just want to come to this. The birth. Verse 17, what could I suggest to you in a hurry? Well, I said to you, you see, it's connected with the call of Abraham, which is, of course, the great principle of faith. And then you think about the second 14 is the coronation of David, which is the matter of kingdom rule and the establishment of righteousness. Now Christ is about that, you see. These things are being fulfilled in him. The Babylonian captivity, it is a wonder to my heart that the Saviour comes and he goes through life and he's submissive, subject to Rome. Babylon, Rome. But then he's come to deliver from another kind of captivity, far greater than Egypt. He went down to Egypt. Or Rome, Caesar Augustus, and so on. Or Pilate. Or Babylon. He's going to deliver from Satan and sin. You see, this is the ministry of Christ in a gist, in one verse. And you see, everything settles upon our glorious Lord. And you see almost, you know, the writer taking a breath here. Look at this. Now, he says. Now, let's think about this. The birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. Oh, well, I don't know what could say to you. Lovely, isn't it? Mary is found with child of the Holy Ghost. This great matter now concerns three agencies, I thought. First of all, the creative act of the Spirit of God, the conception. Then Joseph's doubt, and you might say misconception. I thought about that, you see, his misconception. The conception of the Holy Spirit. But it takes some time, it takes us all time to understand divine activity and divine matters. We need light, don't we? We need revelation. And so Joseph gets this doubt of his settled by the introduction of a third great agency, and that's the angel coming to him in a dream and saying to him so tenderly, Joseph, thou son of David. Not lovely. Oh, the dignity of people, of saints, even in their doubts and misapprehension. And so we get this lovely story down to the end of the chapter. I must stop. But we believe tonight in the utter sinlessness of our Lord Jesus, don't we? We do. Let's confess it in God's presence. And this is the story we're being told. Joseph apart, in comes Christ. That's a wonderful thing to read about. Just to be confirmed this Saturday evening, before a Lord's Day morning, when we come together in his will, we've got to say, just to remember him. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Let me tell you about it. See, let me. And you get this lovely story. Joseph couldn't, the nation couldn't produce Christ. Of whom concerning the flesh Christ came? What do you think that means? Nothing about human generation, nothing like that at all. Indeed not. But you see, the generation is divine. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And over that great transaction there is the overshadowing power of the Blessed Spirit of God. You can think about Luke in that connection. You know? Joseph couldn't produce that child. It was prepared by God. But what Joseph could do was he could protect it. He could, you know, he could subdue himself in order to the preservation of that body, so that he knew not his wife. See, I'm quoting, he knew not his wife until that Jesus Christ was born. And Joseph's are lovely. Were we saying that last Saturday? The Joseph's are lovely. Joseph, Genesis, you know, and then Joseph at his birth, protecting the Saviour, the body of the Saviour in the womb. And then the Joseph at his death, protecting the body of the Saviour in the tomb. All so beautiful. May God help us just, you know, to have our eyes open. You know? Lovely that Christ has come. You know? Arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Never were the shepherds and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The Gentiles shall come to thy light and to his rising. You know, we're thinking about the next chapter, the coming of the Magi. So lovely. They called his name Jesus. Jesus. What are we going to say about that now? You just give me a minute. The last of the kings of Israel is called O-S-H-E-A, Hoshua, which is short for Joshua. The first of the minor prophets, I know this fits you, the first of the minor prophets is H-O-S-E-A, is Joshua. Hosea is just Joshua. Check on it. The Hebrew of it is all the same. But you see, when you've got, and then you get Jeshua. You see, there's another form, and we've been reading from Jim, with Jim, hearing from him, just Joshua, and then we get another extension of the name, and it's Jehoshua. What I've not spoken to you about, you see, is the blessings. You know, the book, and then the birth, and then the blessings. And he comes in as the firstborn son, that's one, and then he comes in as, oh wait for it, Emmanuel. How lovely. God with us. The end of Matthew. And lo, I am with you. Lo, I am with you. All, even unto the end of the age, God with us. Nicodemus said, you know, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Well, God was with him. But you see, in Christ, isn't it lovely? Just talking about it. God was with us. God was with man, Emmanuel. And then, of course, this lovely name, this third name, the blessing, thou shalt call his name, go on, Jehoshua, which means thou shalt save, the Saviour, Saviour of the people. Great man, isn't Jim? May God bless his word to us.
The Bible does say, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restitution of all things. That means that Christ is going to make the